You know, we're in a season right now where you would have seen on the screen we were talking about sowing into the generations and what it means to be the church of tomorrow. And if you weren't here last week or you didn't catch the podcast from the message from Pastor Ken Lee, our senior pastor, where he spoke so eloquently but so meticulously into what it is to sow into generations. Can I encourage you to watch that? Can I encourage you to download that podcast? Because it'll shape and create a theology around what it is to be a steward of what you have now for the generations for moving forward. Yeah. So can I encourage you to look into that? And my prayer from that is that you will see the importance of what we do today has an impact upon tomorrow. What you have in your hands, what you are able to grasp and to sow into the future has an impact and has a profound impact on those that are going to follow. What you do, what you and I do matters. What we do matters. The decisions that we make, they matter. And our actions and our choices, the things that we do today, they matter for tomorrow. Yeah? And I'm going to continue on the whole theme of generational thinking and sowing into the future this morning. And, you know, many times throughout the scripture, we see God referring to himself as a generational God. We hear that he is declared as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, indicating that he's not just for one generation, he's for the generation to follow, the next generation. And he also talks about the fact that he will bless all the nations, all the future generations through the promise that he gave to Abraham. And here's the thing, because he's a generational God, the promises that he gave back in the scriptures back then are also promises for you. They're promises for you. And I want to declare over you today and remind you that you are a blessed people, that you are a royal priesthood, that everything that is contained in scripture as a promise is a promise for you today. Do you understand that? You are a blessed people. I need you to capture this. You are a blessed people. But here's the thing. It's all very well to be blessed, but what do we do with the blessing that we've actually been given with? What do we do once we understand that we're a blessed people? You see, it's what we do with the blessing that really matters. It's what we do with that understanding. Are we simply going to hold on to and hoard that blessing? This is mine. I'm really happy with this blessing. I'm really happy with that promise. Or are we going to understand what it is to say, I am blessed in order to be a blessing to those around me, to sow into? And there's the significance and an understanding of what it is to sow into the next generation that helps us to grasp why God gave promises in the first place. He gave them so specifically. So we're going to open the scriptures this morning and we're going to go right back. I love going into the Old Testament. The Old Testament is just so full of truth, so full of everything that points to Jesus is found in the Old Testament. Everything that we understand of who Jesus is found from the very beginning. So I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 26. So if you've got your scripture, your Bible there, or your Fible, whatever you want to call it. Patty's got a Fible on the front row. If you don't know what a Fible is, ask Patty. She'll tell you all about it later. But it's going to come up on the screen, and it says this. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." See, God was reminding Isaac right in that moment of the promises that they were not just for him. Did you see that? The promises that he gave Isaac in that moment are not just for him. They are for the next generation. They're not only for the next generation, they're for all the nations of the earth that were to follow. The blessing was contained in that very moment is not just for today. It's for tomorrow. It's for next week. It's for next month. It's for next year. It's for the next 10 years. It's for the next 100 years. The blessings of God, the promises of God are generational. And he was reminding him in that point, not just was it he the God of Abraham, he was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and everything else. He wasn't just contained in that promise where he said to Abraham, look up into the stars. Everything that you see, that's the number of children that will follow you. It wasn't just for Abraham, It was for everyone that was to follow. See, the lineage continues to this day as well. It continues on. See, follow me, he said to Isaac. Listen to me. Follow my statutes. Follow my commands. Keep my charge. And just watch the way that I will bless you and your offspring. When you listen to my word, God was reminding Isaac of the importance of leaving a good legacy. In the words when he said, follow my commands, when you see the following verses after this, he says, follow my statutes, follow my word, listen to the things that I charge you with. He was saying to, listen, I want you to teach the next generation. I want you to pass this on. It's not just for you to take a hold of this. I need you to tell the next generation of who I am, Yahweh, so that they will understand the promises that was given to you will belong to them also. Teach them and show them my ways. It's all about legacy. It's all about legacy. See, what Isaac did mattered. The decisions that he would make mattered. His actions and the choices that he made would set in place a blessing for the generations to follow, for the entire nation of Israel and for every nation that is on the face of the earth. And it was reliant upon the decisions and the choices that Isaac made. Do you see that? If Isaac hadn't have made good choices, if Isaac hadn't have understood what it is to leave legacy, what would have actually been the outcome? What could it have actually been? You see a glance at the life of Isaac and it doesn't seem like he actually did much. He's only contained in three chapters of the Old Testament. And when you look at the actual happenings and the actions of Isaac, very little can actually be seen from the life of this man. You see, Isaac is caught in the middle of two amazing generations. Have a think about it. Abraham, the father of the faith, the patriarch, the one that we all talk about. And then there's Isaac. And then when we follow Isaac, there's Jacob, of whom every tribe, the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, were actually contained in his seed. Isaac is caught in the middle. Who's Isaac? What did he do? You could be forgiven for thinking, who is this guy? And did his actions really matter very much? Did he do something that was actually important? Because Abraham did something amazing. He left his land. He left his people. He left his family and went to the land that God had promised him. Jacob then was the complete offspring of Israel came from Jacob. Think it through. Isaac seems to be an insignificant person. You might be sitting here this morning thinking, am I significant? Do I have something of importance in my life? I'm going to declare over you right now, the choices you make, everything you do, it matters. You are significant. You are significant in the hand of God. And every choice that you make has significance, not only for today, but for tomorrow, for the next day, and every day that follows on. You are significant. Everything that you do is significant. So what did Isaac actually do that was so important? Well, should we go there? Genesis 26, verse 24 and 26, it says this. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and I will increase the number of his descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent and there his servants dug a well. And then we jump down to verse 32. Then Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug, and they said, we found water, and he called it Sheba. And to this day, the name of that town has been called Beersheba. Today, I want to talk to you around the topic of digging wells. What it is to dig wells. Potentially the most important task, the most important thing that Isaac did in his entire lifetime was to dig a well. To understand the importance of what it is to dig a well. Because if he hadn't have dug a well, there was no water for the next generation. If he hadn't have dug a well, he wouldn't have survived the next day. Digging wells. What's so important about digging a well? So has anyone here ever dug a well? Oh, we have one. Okay, mission trip. Sometimes that actually happens when you go on a mission trip and you dig a well. But let me ask you this question. I'm going to give you a bit of a history lesson on what it is to dig a well. You see, there's something very significant. When you understand in biblical terms what it was to dig a well in those days, it's very significant. It has a huge impact not only upon your present day and your ability to draw water, but it has a massive impact upon the generations to follow. You see, the significance of digging a well was to declare in that moment to you, to your family, and to all the surrounding areas, this land is mine. It was your capacity right then and there to put a stake in the ground and says, I am digging this well, this is my land. This is my place. This is where the place where I put my feet, this is my land. And the only reason you dug a well was for that declaration, apart from the fact that you knew from there that you would draw life, you would draw water, and the capacity to be able to feed your entire family, your herds, your flocks. This, by the way, this is not a small well. Do you realize that was for all of his servants, all of his family, all of his flock? What did God say back then? He was a blessed man and he flourished in the land. He had herds and flocks and everything else. Can you imagine how big that well was? It's massive. You see, digging a well is vitally important. And it was his declaration to the descendants, this is my land. This is my spot. And this wasn't actually the first time that Isaac had actually dug a well. When you look back, he actually tried to redig the wells that his father Abraham had established in the land that he was there. But the problem was the Philistines, the enemy, had tried to cut off his inheritance. You see, if the well gets filled in, that's a declaration by your enemy that says you will not flourish in this land and you will not have descendants. Interesting thought. It cuts off anything that was or anything that potentially will be when those wells have been filled in. So Isaac knew what it was to dig wells. You know, when we dig wells, we need to be faced with the prospect of we may come up against opposition. The enemy does not want you to dig a well. I'll explain what it is for us to actually dig wells in the future, but he will try and fill any of the old wells that you've even dug in the past. He doesn't want you to tap into what God has for you. He does not want you to pass on to the next generation. He does not want you to declare, this is my land. He does not want you to actually succeed in life. He doesn't want you to draw from a source of life. He wants to stop that. You see, there's actually a really interesting understanding around why he called the well the name Sheba. If you understand biblical context, names meant so much. Sheba is actually significant of the number 7, which in biblical terms is completion, finality, perfection. This world was perfection. This world was completion because it was the completion of the beginning of what would be the land that we would call the nation of Israel to today. Also, it also means a well of oath. So God's oath that he spoke was coming to complete, perfect fulfillment, completion. In that moment, very important. That's a whole different sermon. We're not going to go there this morning. But it was because of the continued opposition from the Philistines he finds himself digging this well. And so that's why it's so important that we understand why did he actually dig that. Apart from the obvious need to actually draw water to feed his whole family and flock. But it was actually, there's a deeper significance that goes beyond the day-to-day survival. So we're going to go back to our original text because I think you might have missed it when we opened our first text. The significance is actually found in that opening verses of Scripture. And it says this, the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Don't go where you think you need to go. Go to the land that I tell you. Really important that you understand that. Live in the land where I tell you live. Stay in this land for a while and I will be with you and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants, did you catch that? To you and to your descendants. Right there, God's saying, this is not just about you, this is about the next generation. This is not just about today, this is about tomorrow, this is about next week. Come on, guys, we need to catch this. For to you and your descendants, I will give all of these lands and I will confirm the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars and I will give them all the lands. And through your offspring, your next generation, the one, if you don't dig the well today, you won't have an offspring. For your offspring, I will bless all the nations of the earth. The promise was captured back there and you need to understand the importance of why he had to dig a well. It's vitally important that he established it right then and there. a life source, a legacy to remind. See, the thing is, that well was the reminder. Whenever they came back, they said, our father dug this. Our father dug this and established our family. He established our nation. And Jacob came, his seed. Jacob was the one who could turn around and say, my father, I was like, dug this. And I know that I can draw source and water from here. There was a significance to the next generation. We've got to understand what it is to dig a well for the next generation. So vitally important. The beginning of the legacy for the generations to come was established when he dug that well. If we want to leave a legacy of significance, then we need to dig a significant well. If we want to leave a significant legacy, we need to understand what it is to dig a well of significance. We need to know what it is. See, in modern day society, certainly in the Western world, we actually don't dig wells anymore. I know that sounds really obvious. You go to the tap, you turn it on, water comes out, correct? I can flick the flick mixer, I can walk into that kitchen back there and I can get a glass of water. It's very simple. We don't actually understand what it is to go to the capacity of what it is to actually get that water source. You know, water just magically comes out. Actually, do you remember, as a kid you probably don't remember this, but anyway, I watched this with my kids. The first time they see water come out of the tap, it's amazing, right? They get surprised by it. I get surprised by it. Anyway. See, but no longer do we actually have to dig wells and draw for them, because our governments have constructed dams, they've put infrastructure in place, they've run piping through the streets, and then someone tapped into that with a piece of copper and it goes into your house, you turn the tap on, and we take for granted what it is to have a life source of water that comes to our house. We don't understand what actually goes into play to actually create that. And the concept of digging a well can be quite foreign to us. More maybe even the effort or the energy and the time that it goes into constructing and digging a well. Do we actually understand that? In a time, you know, it's a time-consuming, back-breaking, down and dirty process. You've got to get your hands dirty. You've got to get dirt under your fingernails. These guys didn't have modern implements. They were doing it with their hands and a bucket and a rope and whatever. And to be honest, down deep in that well, they got walls all around. This thing could cave in at any point. Digging wells was actually a difficult task. It took time and effort. You see, as I was praying into this message, I sensed God was asking me a question. You know what, son? You come and drink for the tap. You turn it on, it's so easy. You come and drink from my tap and you enjoy the blessings and the refreshment, but are you willing to pick up a shovel and start digging for the next generation? Are you willing to get into the dirt? Are you willing to, you know, do some back-breaking work? Are you willing to flex your muscles a little bit, pick up that shovel and start digging? What did I say before about the significance of what a well is? Are you willing to lay a stake in the ground and say, Scarborough, this is God's ground? Scarborough, this is City of Stirling, this is God's ground. Am I willing to start digging that ground and say, I will invest now, today, for the next generation. I will invest for what will be. Yes, we've got a smaller room right now, but what's it look like in the future? Are we willing to invest and dig for the next generation? Are we willing to count the cost? Are we willing to understand what it is to count the cost to dig a well? See, if we're to dig a well, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something. Digging a well requires physical effort. It requires resource. It requires time. It costs something. There are costs attached. See, in order to establish yourself in the land, to lay a stake in the ground, you first had to dig that well. You couldn't survive without it. I'll tell you what. I'll call the water board. We'll turn the water off, and let's see how long you survive. If you don't have a well, you've got no life source. This is what these guys faced. They had to invest the time and the effort. Isaac had to commission his servants to actually get in there and say, guys, we need water for tomorrow. We've got enough in our bag today, but we need some for tomorrow. I need you to start digging. And you know what? That could have taken days. Worse still, they tried to dig up three other wells, and then the Philistines said, no, you can't have that. They faced opposition as well. So they're going for number four now. They're having to go hard at this. How much resource did that cost? See, Isaac had to feed his servants. He had to water his servants. He had to provide for all them. He still had to feed and provide water for all of his flock. This well cost him something. Digging this well cost him. Imagine having to dig three wells only to be refused access to them. The thought of trying again would have been heartbreaking. I just want a drink. Don't ask me to dig anymore. I want a drink. Don't ask me to dig anymore. Digging's too hard. This was not a one-time event where they would dig in hope of a day's supply. This was a well that would last for the generations. It required a huge effort. See, but Isaac understood his bloodline had to survive. His generation had to pass on to the next one. He knew that if his son was to birth the nation of Israel, he had to dig a well. He understood the cost that was actually going into this place. Here's the question. Are we willing to count the cost? Or do we just want to come and have a drink occasionally? Well, come on. It's getting real. Do we want to invest, or we just want to turn up to church and go, holy, there is no one like you. Yep, fill me, God. Let me have a drink. But are we willing to get down and get our hands dirty? Come on. If we dig today, there's supply for tomorrow. It can't stop with us. It can't stop with us. So if we're to dig some wells, let me take you through some mindsets that I think we need to shift. See, there's this mindset of a tap or a well. Which one's it going to be? Are we going to tap in? We're going to dig in. Have a listen to this. Do we approach God like a tap that we turn on when we need it, or do we continue to dig deep and search out that living water? We just flick the switch. We just flick the switch and turn it on. I'll turn you on, God, when I want you. I'll turn you, God, when I need you. Everything I need is available on a tap source. Everything. See, when we have this tap mindset of who God is, we just come and fill up the glass whenever we think we need it, and we don't come and actually understand what it is to actually lay the pipe and the foundation for the next generation. Maybe we're forgetting that behind the tap is a network of copper pipe that a laborer actually installed into that house. He brazed the joins. He tapped into the infrastructure that is on the street, and the government actually invested and built that dam. You see, time, effort, resource, dirt, sweat, muscle went into the very effort that gives you the tap that you have in your house today. See, the thing is, we just turn it on. It's so simple, but you've got to understand there's resource that goes behind all that. And here's the other thing, there's a cost attached too, because the homeowner, the person who has that house, he had to pay the laborer, and then he had to pay his rates and everything else. There's a cost attached to getting water to your house. Do we have a tap mindset, or do we have an understanding that says, I will invest in the future? The future says, I will pay it forward. See, someone had to dig in order that we could tap in. Someone had to dig in the past in order that you could go, turn that tap on. See, we maybe come with these sorts of thoughts in our mind. I've dug some wells in my time. I give my tithe. I serve on the car park team. You know what? I even came to the revival prayer meeting last month. I just feel like it's time to stop and have a drink. Someone else can have a go. I'm a little tired. I don't want to dig and get my hands dirty. You know, and we hit the flick mixer and out comes the water and we take a refreshing drink. Let me just say, it's okay to have a refreshing drink. Tap into the source and get refreshed, because there are times for a pause and get refreshed. But here's the thing. When you turn the tap on and have a drink for yourself, why don't you just fill a glass for someone else at the same time? That's what digging is all about. It's not just about filling your own glass. Better still, why don't you fill a jug so that he can pass it on and fill three other people at the same time? That's what the understanding of tapping into the source is all about. It's not about just filling your own cup. It's filling the cup for the next person. It's filling the cup for the next generation. It's a reminder that a tap is great, but a well is better. A tap is great, but a well is better. So the idea of refreshment is we get the energy to go again and go again and go again. I really believe that God is saying it's time to dig in. It's time to get refreshed. Come on, have a drink. A drink is good. The worship time's amazing. Have a drink, but remember, you're having a drink so that you can be an outlet and refreshing for the people around you, so that you can invest in the next generation. If we're to have a legacy that we leave for the next generation, a legacy that lasts, it's worth fighting for, then it's going to have to cost us something. It's going to cost an effort. It's going to cost time. It's going to cost resource. We have to press in and understand what it is to press that button. Does this make sense? Come on. Here's the next mindset we need to shift. Do we turn up at the wishing well or the living well? Do we turn up at the wishing well? I was driving through the week and I was saying, God, what are you saying about these wells? And he took me back to the picture of what it was as a child to go and visit the wishing well. Who's been to a wishing well? You know, you go there and you see these wells and do you know the interesting thing about a wishing well? They're capped. The water in there is actually stagnant and you really don't want to draw from that water. And it's just got a few token coins in there. See, a wishing well doesn't give you a life source. We throw coins in and, you know, it's kind of that whole thing of, I hope it's going to turn out. I hope it's going to be what I need. Can I just give you a little secret? The well is dead. It has no life. And all the wishes in the world are not going to cause anything to come to life again. It's a wishing well. See, the wishing well represents a memorial. Now, memorials are important because they act as a historical reminder. See, they link the past with the present and they enable people to remember and respect the past events. But that's all they are. Memories are good, but the problem is memorials are stagnant, poison time. They were what was, not what could be. It's a memorial. You can't draw life-giving water from a wishing well. You can't live off yesterday's experience. We need active wells. We need to be digging fresh wells every day. Sitting in the well of reminiscing that was will cause you to dry up and become stagnant. When you sit in that space and just go, I just want to remember what it was in those old times. I remember the revival of the past. I remember what it was when God poured out his spirit 10 years ago. Great, that was 10 years ago. What's happening today? Come on, come on. Do you remember the revival back in the 1800s? Fantastic, God moved back then, but I want God to move today. I want to dig a well for today. I want to see God move today. We can't live in the memories of the past, guys. We've got to live in the memories of what we're going to create for the future. We've got to leave a well for the next generation. We're going to get down and dig it. We need fresh revelation. Have you ever seen the water in a wishing well? Would you actually want to drink from that? We can't drink from yesterday's revelation, people. We've got to drink from a fresh revelation today. But we have to be the ones that dig that up. Have a look at Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Listen to what God says. Forget the former things. Forget the past. Forget the memories. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Come on. We need to understand that God is not a God of yesterday's experience. God's a God of today and tomorrow and the next day and next week and next year. God's a God of the next generation. He's the God of experiences today, yes, but that's experience that you can take and drive to the future. If we're to pass on a living legacy, then we need to learn to dig deep and draw daily from the fresh wells. Church, Jesus didn't leave us a memorial to go back to. The tomb is empty. We don't go back and look at the tomb because the tomb's empty. Jesus is living. He's alive. He's in our lives. He's asking us to draw from him, not to go back and look at the empty tomb. He's a living, alive, vibrant God who wants to enable you to pass on, to enable you to draw from his presence. We can't go back and visit the empty tomb. You know the other thing that a wishing well represents? It represents token. Do you remember? There's my 20 cents. It's a token visit. We don't go to the wishing well every day. We go, I think I've been to a wishing well 3 or 4 times in my lifetime. It's a token prayer. We pray only when we need to. It's a token coin. We toss our spare change in and hope for the best. Oh, come on. The next generation, we say, I wish you well in the future, but don't ask me to dig for you. That's a token. That's what a wishing well looks like. You see, have we left this well here as a reminder for the next generation? Or are we leaving, you know, and capped it and gone, on your way, you'll do so well. You know, I've left you this little memorial. And I'll tell you what, I've even thrown a few coins in there and you can do a bit of maintenance on it and keep it all nice and looking good. And then we can come back and we can go, wasn't that lovely? And we just give token effort. No. Token effort doesn't build a kingdom. Token effort doesn't change your life. Token effort doesn't actually change you internally. It requires effort that is actually tapping into the source. You know what? You need to rip that cap off that wishing well and start drawing from fresh water underneath. That's what it's all about. See, the church wasn't called to just maintain. We're called to build. We're called to pass on a legacy, to get our hands dirty. Can you imagine if Jesus had just given us a token effort? Hey, disciples, I can see there's 5,000 people out here, and what have we got? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Okay, can you just put the men on this side, the women on the side? I'll tell you what, we'll just feed the women today, and the others can go home and find their own food. We'll do a half miracle, a token miracle. Does that sound right? Tell you what, the crippled guy. I want the best for you, so here's a pair of crutches. Can you get around with those? Jesus didn't give a token effort. He didn't give a token effort. I tell you what, there's 10 lepers. I'll heal 5. Oh, that's a miracle. Come on. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. It's not the full miracle, but it's a miracle. Do I want to put a token effort in to this process? When he faced his persecutors, he could have said, you know what? That whipping, that's enough. Stop. Stop, 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 stop. You know what? Listen, you can punch me, but please don't pull my hairs out of my beard. Do you know what? That cross sounded like such a good idea from the beginning, but I'm not sure that I want to go through with it. Jesus didn't give us a token effort. Do you know what? That's really heavy. I'm not sure that I can get through this. Father, can this cup be passed? Not my will. Your will be done. Jesus didn't give us a token effort. Do you know, Father, I think you're asking a bit too much right now. Yeah, it was too much. But he went all the way. He dug deep. He dug a well for you. He dug and established a foundation that you can build from today that says, I will not be beaten and the gates of hell will not prevail. Jesus knew what it was to give everything. He was all in. See, Jesus knew what it was to dig well. He didn't get halfway through the cross and go, I'm going to tap out. Excuse the pun. Jesus gave us a full legacy in order that we can receive the full inheritance. There's a verse of scripture in Romans that says this, now if we are children, and then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Do you know what? Jesus gave us the full legacy. We are now co-heirs with Jesus because of the legacy he left. But what does it say down there? If we share in his sufferings. Ooh. I thought we just get the glory bit. No. We got to share in the whole kit. It means just digging some dirt. We don't have to go to the cross. He's done that for you. We don't have to endure the pain. He's done that for you. Do you know what, church? It's time that we dig deep. God isn't looking for our token devotion and our well wishes. He is calling us to an all-in life. And today his question is, will you start to dig? Will you count the cost? Will you begin to dig deep and tap into the living water that he has for you and me and the next generation? Are we willing to count the cost? Listen to the words of Jesus in Luke 9:23. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. This is not a one-time affair. It's a daily experience. It's a daily exchange. Going back and checking out the memorial, that's things of the past. We need to step into the new memorial, look into the eyes of Jesus and take his grace and step into what he's given us in Jesus' name. It's a daily decision to dig deep and draw from the well that is Jesus. Jesus is the well that we dig from. Jesus is the well that we dig from. In John chapter 7, 37, 38, it says this, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.'" Hey, come on, we're supposed to drink so that it'll flow. We're supposed to drink from the Spirit so that it'll flow. We're supposed to understand what it is to pass on and flow with living waters. He's talking about the Holy Spirit when that verse came up. He's talking about us drawing from his Spirit, as the musicians join me. He's talking about us understanding what it is to tap into the very essence and the grace and the wonder and the beauty of who he is. Jesus is the well that we need to dig from. Jesus is the well that we need to dig from. Do you know you might be feeling dry in this room today? Can I tell you? Come and have a drink from the well. Come and have a drink from the well that is Jesus. You might have dug wells in the past. They might seem like a distant memory. God's saying, come on, come back, create a new memory. Come and dig from the well that is me. Those are the words of Jesus. He has so much more for you. Can I ask you to stand right now? Do you know, I've been talking about this Jesus and I've been talking about wells and I've been talking about this whole thing of drawing fresh water. And they're all metaphors. But Jesus is not a metaphor. Jesus is real. And his life-giving, fresh water flowing is his Holy Spirit that he's given to each one of us if we will simply receive it. My question to you this morning is, do you know who this Jesus is? Have you met him? Have you actually entered into a vibrant relationship with him? Do you know what it is to draw from who he is and receive his refreshing living water? You may have never encountered or had an experience where you've asked Jesus to become your Lord and Savior. This morning, I want to offer you that opportunity. You see, you might be going through life and struggling and going, what is life all about? Can I tell you what life's all about? Life is all about Jesus. It's all about his life-giving refreshing that he offers you through forgiveness of sin. And you begin a new life that actually has purpose, that has direction, that has an understanding of why you were born. You were born to worship. You were born to be in his presence. You're not born to be distant from God. And Jesus has paved the way so that you no longer have to be distant from God, because his cross bridges the gap between man and God. See, that bridge, that chasm, that's sin. The things that we've done wrong in our life. And God says, when we accept Jesus, he doesn't see the sin. He just simply sees the cross. And if this morning you've never entered into a vibrant relationship with Jesus, or you've never asked him to become your Lord and Savior, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand this morning. We're going to pray a prayer and we're going to invite you into the family of God. It's as simple as that. Nothing magical, nothing mystical. It's simply believing on the name of Jesus Christ, because he is the name that is above every name in heaven and earth. So if that's you this morning, why don't you just lift your hand right now? I encourage you. This is an opportunity to just receive Jesus. If that's you, just lift your hand right now. I'll see it. I'll ask you to put it down. Is there anyone here? Just lift your hand. I can see it. Just catch my eye. I'll be able to see it. I'll ask you to put it down and we'll pray. Is there anyone here this morning? I don't see any hands this morning, but I know that God's still doing a work. I believe that He's asking us, are we willing to go all in? Are we willing to dig a well for our own soul, but also for the souls of the generations to come? When I was praying and leading into this, I really sensed God had three specific people, groups in mind, and we're going to open the altar up this morning, and I really want to hit on these three areas. And you know, I said it before, you might be feeling dry. You might be like Isaac and you feel like your life has a level of insignificance, that you don't have a part to play, that you don't matter. I want to declare over you today, you do matter. The choices you make, the things that you do, they matter, and they matter in the eyes of God, and He has a purpose and a plan for you, and He wants to bring a destiny to your life. And if you're feeling dry this morning, I'm just going to invite you to come and drink from the well. This morning's an opportunity to come and receive from Jesus because He offers you so much. The second group of people, you remember what it was to be all in. But when you look now, it seems like a distant memory. You remember what it was to actually get your hands dirty, to look at your fingernails and go, I remember digging that well. But my encouragement to you this morning is that distant memory can become a new declaration today. Come back and start to dig. Start to remember what it was like to drink from that fresh and living water, and to be someone who, like the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria, who once she heard and drunk from that fresh water, she went and told a whole town and said, come and meet the man who's changed my life. Come and meet the man. Come on, it's time to come and dig from that well again this morning. And the third group of people, you no longer want it to just be a token. You no longer want to just be dipping your toes in the water, so to speak. You no longer want to just be just half in. God says He's calling you to go all in. I invite you to come this morning. Come on, as the band sings, why don't you come?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.